Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to another episode of the Backyard Preacher Podcast. Thank you very much. It is the 1st of July, ladies and gentlemen. It is hot outside. I'll give you a little view of that. Can you see? It is hot outside. But it should be. It's July. Beautiful. I love my new office. It's absolutely gorgeous. But get back to me. Anyway, I hope everyone is doing well. Remember, if you like this podcast, share this podcast. If you hate it and you absolutely think I am a disgusting heretic, share it anyway. I'll take any publicity, good publicity, bad publicity, please share away. As you see from the title, we're going to talk about, because oftentimes on my podcast, I'm ranting and raving. Just 1 second. I don't know why I put my Gatorade over there. Gatorade, good for you. You know, oftentimes I'm ranting and raving about, you know, things going wrong with society, and sometimes I don't necessarily explain how we need to fix these things. So in this episode, and I am going to hope for continuing episodes, that my messages are not just going to be rants and raves. They will be rants and raves, but also how we can fix these things. As someone who is a public speaker, an activist, and someone who is a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, my messages need to be focused on fixing problems within the church, fixing problems within this nation. And that, my friends, what I'm going to do. All right. 141 of these podcasts so far. Wow. So I kind of wanted to call this podcast, call this message, a church, fixing a broken church and nation. And I think one of the reasons why I wanted to call it that, I was going to call it a church divided, a nation divided. Then yes, we are. We are very, very divided in this country. You know, we have within the constitutional letter, the Federalist letters, about the separation of church and state. And I'm a firm believer in practicing a separation between church and state. One of the problems is that it doesn't really happen. It doesn't happen at all. We all as individuals, we all come from some kind of spiritual background, and that means a great deal. That usually precedes, you know, our loyalty to the state. So when we are dealing with state issues, we're dealing also with our religious conscious beliefs. And we do take those into account when we cast our ballots, when we make decisions that has an effect on others. Because doing so, even when you do something that has an effect on others, if you are doing those things because of your religious beliefs, then therefore there really is no concrete separation between church and state. Oh no, my wireless connection is, that was almost concerning. I was thinking that we were going to be lost. For those of you listening on the, I don't know, however you download this podcast, it's downloadable in so many different ways now. But I do Facebook Live, and we lost connection for a brief second, but connection has been restored. You can't shut me down. You can't shut me down. I'm going to read something here. Psalm chapter 133. It's a beautiful psalm. A beautiful psalm that is kind of like the premise of the miracle of unity. And believe me, unity is a miracle. The psalmist writes, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is the dew of Hermon, where falling on Mount Zion. For there is the Lord, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." This, David is presumed to write this psalm, this short, very short psalm, and basically saying how blessed it is for God, for God's people to live together in unity. And we're all God's people, so how blessed it is for the world to live together in unity. Okay? So what happens here is he goes on and just makes it nuclear bombs it, you know, he makes it a very big deal about how it's like oil being poured upon Aaron, you know, the high priest, Moses' brother, and all these things. He makes these different synonymous words to make it sound powerful. And it is. It is. It is powerful. It's real powerful. It also shows how much of a miracle that it can really be for people to actually be in unity, for us to actually live in unity. It is almost as difficult, maybe, if not more so, than raising the dead. Let that sink in for a minute. See, we divide ourselves up into groups, almost like tribes. It kind of goes back to our human primal nature, essentially, of dividing up into like-minded groups, like-minded tribes. And we still do this. We do it all the time. You want to go to a church that, you know, espouses to your belief system. You know, be it liberal, conservative, fundamentalist, you know, independent Baptist, Pentecostal, charismatic, a Lutheran, you know, Catholic. There's all different kinds of beliefs that we choose to believe for whatever various reasons, probably because we were brought up in that faith, or when we found faith, we found it through a particular faith body and we adapted our spiritual enlightenment. We adapted these rules that were attached to our spiritual enlightenment. And that those rules and dogma then became this they were hardline driven into us because a spiritual enlightenment is very powerful. When you have a spiritual awakening and when you are within a church body or an organization that has these different rules and dogma, then you are going to attach those to the spiritual awakening as well. And we become tribal in that sense. Where it's our way or the highway, we're not going to give on this. And this happens also within the political realm. You know, especially between Democrats and Republicans. We have a division, a real, real sharp division at the moment. So David, when he wrote that short psalm, he understood, especially through the division that he saw within his own life, because his life before he came to the throne was divided, and even after he came to the throne, it was divided because of mistakes that he made. We all make them. So the vision is only found in these rare occasions. And what divides us is this politics and church, but it's not just politics and church. It's the different ways we view church, the different Christianities that we possess also influences our politics. I would say that our politics are probably more influenced by our religious beliefs than anything else. But Jesus, in all of his wisdom, he understood this, and Jesus knew this. Take the text as you want to take it. But Jesus talks in Matthew chapter 10. Kind of about what his message would bring. Chapter 10:34, he says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." This Jesus was making this statement that these words of his will divide. People will take what he has intended to be a good thing and then created, we create the vision with it. We did this. I don't think Jesus is necessarily saying that I'm purposely wanting to bring the vision. He's saying that by the very nature of my words, it will bring the vision because you guys are human. And it's just going to happen that way. We see this in our country like never before. We see the division in our country like never before, as Jesus was talking about. "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." The separation of church and state is ideal, but the separation of church and state is not actually going to take place because our politics are always influenced by our religious beliefs. So we can try hard to find common ground on issues that the church is deeply in touch with. Some of these are abortion, the death penalty, homosexuality. There's so many different types of ritual and ways of interpreting, as they call it, hermeneutics, the scriptures and the text. These things, I believe, are what divides us. A lot of moral issues on what is right and what is wrong. And we try to figure out what's right and wrong, although it's almost really impossible. But I truly believe that it is written on our hearts that just don't be a jerk. Okay? Don't be a jerk. Be a good person. Be a good person. Be somebody that is like the Good Samaritan, who will help their neighbor in times of trouble and in times of need. Yet, we turn our backs on one another because of our politics. We turn our backs on one another because you believe Jesus meant this and I believe Jesus meant that, so we can't get along. And that is not going to be a way where unity is established amongst all people. I think there's basically one fundamental tenet that I believe that kind of spans amongst all Christianity, and that is that we can all agree as Christians that life, death, in the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus, our adoptions as sons and daughters, no matter what. What holds us back is everything else. Like I said, the rules, the dogma that's created, the fights over LGBT rights, abortion, women's rights, environmental issues. All of these different things divide us. Liberal, conservative. And we make these things such powerful issues that we refuse to come together. We refuse to come together. But I'm going to kind of show you how we should fix these things and how we can fix these things biblically. And I think if we looked at Acts chapter 15, the church actually found itself in this predicament. Let me turn over here. The church found itself in this predicament in Acts chapter 15. Basically, what was going on was you had the new Gentile believers, and then you had the church in Jerusalem, which was like the very nucleus, the very after Jesus rose from the dead and went ascended into heaven. You had this nucleus of believers led by James and Peter, and Paul was the missionary out into the Gentiles, the apostle to the Gentiles. And so you had this group that said, nah, I don't know, man, Paul, you're getting in an awful lot of Gentile believers, but they're not doing things the way we do things as Jews, because they're not following the 600 plus laws that we have as Jews. And I you know, they're uncircumcised. They're not part of us. But Paul was saying, you know, they don't need to be. They don't need to be part of us as far as being Jews. They are still part of the family because they believe in Christ. And they had this big council meeting. And during this council meeting, they decided that it didn't matter if they followed certain all of these Jewish beliefs. All that mattered was that the council letter is right here in Acts 15. They said, write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from meat strangled by animals, and from blood. That was it. Now, I'm not saying that we as Gentile believers have to even follow this, but for them at the time when this was written, that's what they felt it was necessary to tell them. You know, food polluted by idols, we're not really worried about that. Animals, you know, back then you didn't go to Hy-Vee and pick up steak. You know, you made your own steak. You killed the animal and you cut the steak out of it. So they were given these basic rules to the Gentiles from the Jewish faith that they thought were important for them to follow. Today, I guess I would probably only say sexual immorality would be something that we would continue to add with this. Anyway, so there is a time and a place where we can compromise. People say that, oh, you can't compromise the Bible. Well, sure you can. They just did. They compromised the scripture. They compromised their Bible. They didn't have a New Testament then. All they had was the Old Testament. They had their writings. They had the first five books. They had the prophets. They had the history books. They had what they believed was God's word to them, and they just compromised it for the Gentile Christians. So we can compromise it. We can adjust it if needed for the greater good and peace and unity. Jesus talks about this also. He talks about this how we can actually work together, though very different. He talks about this in John chapter 4, verses 19. He's meeting with a Samaritan woman. She said, sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, and they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. What is Jesus doing there? He's allowing the woman to have her own belief system still. He's not saying you need to totally change your belief system. He's saying your people believe it this way. But a time's coming when it really won't matter what we believe, as long as we're worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth, as long as we're worshiping God from the honesty of our own hearts. There's going to be so many differences, but who cares? I don't care. And I don't think God necessarily cares. What he cares about is love, and I guarantee you that. Jesus said the two most important commandments, to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. Again, as King David said in Psalms 133, blessed are those that can dwell in unity. And I say blessed to you. And please, I want us as a nation, as a church, and when I mean church, I mean a whole worldwide church, to find a way to come together in unity, to worship the Father in spirit and truth, centered around Jesus, but not centered around rules and dogma that divide us, that cause us to become angry with one another. Praise God. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I ask that you just bless each and every single believer, non-believer. It doesn't matter to me. Just, Lord God, bless this world. Bless this country. Help us to fix this country. Help us to work together in unity, in spirit, and in truth. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for listening to the Backyard Preacher podcast. This is Nate again, your irreverent reverend. Remember, if you like this podcast, share this podcast. If you don't like the podcast, share it anyway. I don't care. Good publicity, bad publicity, it all works the same way. And I will see you next time. If I'm not on the 4th of July, catch me then. I'm off on the 4th of July. Way to go. That'll be nice. And anyway, God bless, Godspeed, and we'll talk to you next time.